Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Hello again. Welcome back. Today is going to be a discussion about how to create that really amazing office culture, which we are primed to do in small businesses, and is very good news for small business. So I wanted to start with a couple of numbers that I found very recently, because I know that in interviewing people, I have really sensed a shift in how important having a good office culture is to people. And the first numbers was in Business News Daily, and it found that of the people they surveyed, 56%, so more than half of the people they surveyed, considered a good workplace culture to be more important than their salary, which is amazing news for small businesses because we can't always afford to pay people the big box store salaries, right? The second number that was really great was from Forbes. And Forbes stated that 77% of their respondents to the survey considered the culture of a company prior to even applying for the job, which means that as small businesses, we are in a unique position to offer a really great company culture because we're small and we have a little more control over that. And when we are trying to attract new employees and new talent, we have an opportunity within even our job postings to compliment and talk about our company culture, what makes us great, and what they could be looking forward to. So these things can almost be, you know, an advantage for a small business setting. Now, with the current economy, most of us are definitely feeling the effects of inflation. And many of us are operating in states that are increasing the minimum wage and increasing it fairly significantly. Since most of the jobs that we hire for are typically around that minimum wage to slightly above, this has got a big effect on a lot of small businesses and especially on a medical practice. We aren't going to be able to keep up with necessarily the salaries that are being offered by some of these larger healthcare institutions or some of the big box stores or, you know, any of these larger companies that can offer signing bonuses and this, you know, crazy high wage that they can make. We are not going to compete with that. And I think focusing on the fact that you can barely afford to keep the people that you have is probably not the way to do it, right? That's just going to make you crazy. I think instead, we need to focus on the thing that we can control, which is that office culture that we can create as a small business. We have a very unique opportunity in private practices to create an environment where people feel very fulfilled with what they're doing for their work, where they can have a really great relationship with their coworkers, where they can really get something out of feeling like they're helping other people. We really have a unique opportunity here. And I think rather than focusing on the fact that you cannot control them increasing minimum wage and you cannot control, you know, the quiet quitting culture and the job hopping culture, what you can control is the culture that you offer people in the office. And that alone will combat some of that quiet quitting and some of the other things that you hear about. Let's start at the beginning. The very beginning of this whole process is going to be whether or not you need to clean house with your current employees and whether or not you need to make any new hires, or both, which, let's be honest, sometimes it's both, especially when you're really starting to make a shift in your culture. So, cleaning house versus new hires. The very first thing that I would recommend doing is really observing how your office is flowing. And you probably already have a bit of a pulse on this because you know, we all hear everything that's going on in the office. We hear about the griping and we hear about all those things. Now, the thing is normally we're distracted with seeing patients. So we don't typically have a lot of time to really sit there and actually listen to what's going on. So I would highly recommend taking that time to sit back and actually listen to what's happening, watch how people are interacting together, see what's going on in your office. The second part is you need to have a real talk with your team. Does everybody get along? Like, do you have more complaints about a particular employee from everybody else? Like, is there one bad apple that is really making everybody else's life miserable? Do you have a high turnover with the exception of just one person? I don't care if it's even your office manager. I have seen practices where the office manager was a nightmare and they had high turnover all the time, high turnover all the time. Well, it turns out when you get rid of that one office manager, you have a lot better office. And somebody else was able to step in and do those duties. So really being honest with yourself about how everybody's doing and how everybody gets along is going to be super important. If you still don't feel like you have a good handle on what's going on in the office and how everybody gets along, I would highly, highly recommend asking for submissions on how they think things are going. Like, ask for written submissions. How do you think things are going? What would you like to change about the office? What do you enjoy? What do you not enjoy? Do you have issues with any of the other employees? And ask them privately and individually to submit something to you just on paper. And let them know this is going to be totally confidential. I just need to get a feel for what is going on in the office and how everybody is doing and how everybody interacts. And be very open and honest with them with why you are asking. Because you want really honest answers from people. And if you try to hide your intention, thinking if I don't really tell them why I'm asking, then they won't worry about it. That is not how that's going to go. I will tell you, if you just ask everybody, I need you to write down how you think things are going in the office. Everybody's going to panic. They're all going to think they're getting fired and they're not going to be honest with you. So do not do that. Be very open and honest with what it is you are doing. Tell them, I am trying to create a better culture here. I want to really know what I can do to fix things and what I can do to make sure that you guys want to stay here. So tell me the problems, the good, the bad, the ugly. Tell me where we can make improvements. Write it all down for me. I'm not sharing your answers with anybody. And let's actually come up with collectively what we can do to really make this office somewhere that everybody wants to be. Now, your answers that you get may be really surprising. They generally are. Most of the time, if I'm working with a client and we're doing a full overhaul of company culture and we're looking at everybody's submissions, it's usually surprising. And there's nothing wrong with being completely shocked by their answers. You have been seeing patients. You have been doing the thing that you need to do in order to bring revenue into the business. So do not beat yourself up if this catches you completely off guard with their answers. Some of it, though, you're going to know. Like, you're going to have a feeling that you had one employee that wasn't doing as well, maybe wasn't carrying their weight. You just didn't know how much it affected everybody else. So this will be your clue into that. Now, once you have all of that information, you can look at that from a higher level. And realize the effects that keeping some of these people may or may not be having on the group, right? It is really difficult to consider letting people go in this current economy because everybody's having a hard time hiring. I understand that. I do have a really good hiring process that I am more than happy to share with people. It's a whole process that I use. So if you are interested in it or would like to attend one of the masterclasses that I do on it, just reach out to me, drsarahvps@gmail.com, and we will kind of put you on a list. If you haven't already subscribed to the email list, they will also be going through email. So if you've decided that you want to, you know, be privy to when those are happening, you can also kind of sign up and put your email list on our website. But anyways, if you decide you want a clean house, or if you've got a real problem person, you can look at it a couple of different ways. One, you could see if there are just a set of skills that this person needs to learn. And if that is the case, one, do you have the time or ability to go ahead and train them? Two, do they have the time or ability to comprehend what you are going to train them? So is the limitation because you haven't trained them, or is the limitation because this is honestly, truly beyond their capabilities? if you're able to train them and they just need some performance improvement, you can certainly put them on a performance improvement plan, but you need to have very measurable outcomes and expectations that you are planning to have them meet. If you are honestly thinking this is beyond their skill, then you may decide that you want to let them go. Now, the one thing I would tell everybody, having been through some things myself, is please consider discussing with an employment attorney the process for letting employees go if you live in a very litigious state. That is all I'm going to say on that. Employment attorneys are worth their weight in gold, especially if they are an employment attorney that typically defends employers. Most of them defend employees, so make sure when you are shopping around that you find somebody that you can use as a consult who typically takes on cases for employers. And you just want to make sure that you're going about things the right way. Some states, you want to have a lot of documentation. Some of them are a hire and fire at will. You need to know what those laws are, and you need to make sure that you are covered. So that is all I'm going to say on that. Please talk to an employment attorney before you start really letting people go willy-nilly. The other part to consider before just letting somebody go is who's going to do their job duties, right? Like who is going to take care of the things this person takes care of? Now, if you find that the employee you're wanting to let go, in discussing with them what exactly fills their day, what their current job duties are, that they are doing a lot of kind of busy work that is just really not specific to them, right? Like, especially if a lot of it is stuff that other employees could do, odds are if you got rid of that problem employee and asked your other employees, hey, I know this really sucks. I know we now have a lot of extra work, but would you be willing to do this for a period of time, these few extra job duties, while we make sure we hire the right person? I have yet to hear a group of employees that got rid of a bad apple say that they weren't willing to take on extra work because that person's gone. So consider that your employees are probably more willing to do extra work for you if they don't have to deal with that problem employee. That is the most common thing that I see. Now, let's say you've done that. You've decided you're going to hire people. You're using a hiring process where you're really testing for their skills prior to them even coming in for the interview, which is what I highly recommend doing. When they come in for that interview, you're able to hire on personality. And this is probably the biggest thing you can do to bring about that type of office culture that's cohesive, is hiring on personality. Now, again, you're going to think I'm crazy. You've already checked that they can do all of the things you need them to do by having them go through certain tasks through your hiring process. And really, most of the jobs that we have people doing in the medical field, they're teachable, right? You can teach somebody how to answer the phone. You can teach somebody how to do the back office stuff for you. You do not have to have somebody who's got all of this prior experience, because most of what we need, we can teach. So by the time they come in for an interview, you really should be hiring based on how well is this person going to fit in with the rest of the existing team that I want to keep. One of the really good ways to do this is actually bring your whole team in for the interviews. Have this person come in to do an interview with your entire team there. Give every person on your team one or two questions off of your interview list to ask. You can put this to your team as, hey, I'm helping teach you guys how to learn to interview. This is a valuable life skill. And the new hire is getting to meet everybody all at one time, right? And get a feel for everything. This also helps your current employees feel like they have a say in who their next team member is going to be. It's not just, hey, we have this new person starting on Tuesday. They feel like they really got to contribute an opinion to this. And if you can, it should be a unanimous decision about who to hire. That sounds like it would be hard to do with a large team, but I will tell you, the closer you get to having those personalities that are cohesive in your office, the quicker you can get to that unanimous decision. It's obvious, when people come in and they're a good fit with your team. Your team's excited about it. You're excited about it. It's usually pretty obvious who your next hire should be. Now, moving on to the next section, this is a particularly long podcast, so thank you for sticking with me today. The next section were some ideas on ways that you can maintain that company culture. So now you've brought the right people in, you have the right personalities, they get along well, everybody's helping each other out. This is totally the office you wanted. How do you keep this going? Few options. You can look at some out-of-office get-togethers. You can run, you know, make sure you're running some engaging and actually fun staff meetings. Also, try to keep them under an hour, just my personal opinion, but nobody likes to sit in a meeting longer than an hour. You can do things like occasionally getting the team lunch or coffee. Little things like that can go a long way for employees. Now, the final thing that I would make sure that you do as an employer is regular check-ins with each of your employees. You can do this at their three-month review, quarterly review, however often you do your reviews. But checking in with them about what their goals are for their careers, even if it's not involving your office, and personally, and ask them how you can help them achieve those goals. And this is something that is a shift in how we used to all be employed and how people want to be employed now. So the hard truth is that we are still, as employers, I think, in a mental headspace of assuming that paying people for their work and their time is enough. And it can be enough for a very short period of time. And that period of time seems to be shortening more and more, because what people are looking for is somewhere that they feel they are also getting something out of personally beyond just that paycheck. So if you approach this as you give me your time, I give you money, that's fine, but you're going to have a real high turnover. And that is typically what I see in these high turnover offices. If you want long haul employees, if you want those people that are going to stick around, that are going to put in the extra time, that are going to stay late with you, they're the ones that you need to know about their big goals and aspirations for themselves. And you have to show a willingness and a desire to be somehow part of that within reason, right? Within as much as you can. So, you know, a good example would be somebody wants to go back to school, right? Maybe they're going to go back to school and they're going to do something completely different. They say they're going to get an accounting degree. Okay, great. Are you able to work with their school schedule? Now, that may be one of those within reason items, right? Because you need to have certain hours covered. Now, if you have the ability to have them just miss certain hours of the day because they have classes, great. Go ahead, and I would highly recommend doing it. It shows a willingness to work with them. If you do not have the ability to do that and you need that position covered, or at least somebody in the office, you can go down to short staffing, I go ahead and have the employee talk with the other employees and let them know, hey, you know, I think you should go talk with everybody. Let them know what your school schedule would be and see if everybody can come up with a way together so that everything is getting covered. And now you're putting it back with the employees as a team to be able to figure out how to make that work. And then it's a team decision, right? This isn't a, you come in and say, okay, well, this person can only work these hours, so you have to work extra. Nope. Let them figure it out as a team. It's important that they do so. This way, everybody is still invested in each other and they're invested in the office. Another example would be somebody trying to get into a field completely unrelated, and maybe they want to go do some job shadowing and they just need some time, you know, off to be able to go do that. Most of the time when I've had that happen, my employees ask if they can you know, do it on a day that we're going to close early, or they've already actually talked to their other teammates and said, well, so-and-so said they could stay late so that I can go off and do this. Would it be okay if I do that? Honestly, my opinion, absolutely be supportive of that. The more you can be supportive of that, yes, we fully admit that they are going into a different field and they are not going to be with the office forever. That is what that means. And that's okay, right? Nobody's going to keep any employee forever. But the more supportive you can be of them through that process, the longer they are going to stay and hold on and try to provide your business with support than they would have if you'd been disinterested or actually made it difficult for them. So the general moral of those examples is make sure that you are investing in your employees. And if nothing else, even if you can't actually invest in them because you can't afford to have them take time off and whatnot, certainly find other ways to make them feel supported in what they're doing, even if it's just asking about how things are going. Okay, long podcast. Thank you for sticking with it. We're gonna sum this up. First things first, you are a small business. Yes, it is difficult to compete with increasing minimum wages and some of these larger companies that can pay a lot more than you can. But remember, your superpower is the ability to create and really control well an amazing office culture. Second part is you need to have some real talk with yourself and with your employees about whether or not you have any bad apples in the bunch and get rid of them. Talk to an attorney if you need to, but get rid of them. It will do far more damage to your company to keep a bad employee any longer than you need to, than it will be to be short-staffed. I promise. It has worked that way every single time. When you hire a personality that is going to get along with the rest of your team and bring your team in on the interview. Let them have a say in the hiring process. This is the person they are going to be working with. It's important to have a say. Make sure you keep doing all of the little things that people enjoy. You know, do the out-of-office get-togethers, do the regular, you know, coffee and whatnot for people. They do appreciate that. And then finally, make sure that your employees know that you are invested in their future, both in and out of the office. So find ways that you're communicating about it regularly, you're checking in with them, and you're doing what you can to support them by asking them where you can help. If you can do these things, you will find within about a year that you just have an amazing team. Your turnover will stop. People will be invested. It really is about putting together the right group of people. So I hope this was helpful for you guys. If there's any other questions, please let me know at drsarahvps@gmail.com. I hope to see you guys next time on the podcast, and good luck.